It's time for another journey through the golden history of Hollywood and another podcast from WarnerArchive.com. I'm George Feltenstein, and I'm proud to be your host for this podcast. Today's Warner Archive podcast brings you a wonderful story written by the great American writer William Saroyan. This is the story of The Human Comedy. The Human Comedy was originally written by Saroyan as he was under contract to Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer as a staff writer, and it was an original screenplay starring Mickey Rooney, directed by Clarence Brown. The story was so wonderful, in fact, that it was turned into a novel, which not only became a bestseller of the era, but has gone on to become a very famous piece of American literature. The Human Comedy was both a critical and popular success in 1943, and remained such a vital part of American literature that in 1949, NBC decided to use it as its inaugural broadcast for that season of their Screen Directors Playhouse radio series. So the film's original director, Clarence Brown, and the film's original star, Mickey Rooney, appeared together that evening for the broadcast of the film on the radio network. We're proud to bring you that broadcast today on this WarnerArchive.com podcast, and to remind you that The Human Comedy is available for purchase on DVD and for electronic download on our WarnerArchive.com website. So sit back, relax, and enjoy The Human Comedy as originally presented on the Screen Directors Playhouse September 9th, 1949. Enjoy!
Mickey Rooney stars on the Screen Directors Playhouse. From Hollywood, Pabst Blue Ribbon, finest beer served anywhere, proudly presents... Screen Directors Playhouse, production The Human Comedy, director Clarence Brown, star Mickey Rooney. Hollywood Screen Directors present a story for the ear and for the heart. The Human Comedy, starring Mickey Rooney and introduced by the director of the film, Clarence Brown. The making of a motion picture demands a double set of talents from its director, a keen artistic sense, and knowledge of technology. Some 35 years ago, both qualities sparked together in a young engineer who traded his slide rule for a shooting script. Tonight, he is our guest screen director, the creator of such sensitive films as Our Wilderness, The Yearling, and, of course, The Human Comedy. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Clarence Brown.
When we filmed The Human Comedy, I was fascinated by the title that William Saroyan had given his story. I rather think he called it a comedy to accentuate the fact that it comes within a hair of being tragic. In that margin of difference lies the breadth of our human genius for finding happiness in a universe that can be both cruel and sweet. Now, here is the story, The Human Comedy, starring Mickey Rooney in his original role of Homer Macaulay.
I'm Homer Macaulay, residence, Ithaca, California. Age? Well, I'm grown up now. That's the main thing. Grown up and taking my place in Ithaca. Just like my pa before me. And it's hard to say how it happened. A lot of things went into it, some of them pretty big, some of them pretty small, but looking back, it seems that most of them happened that spring during the war. The spring I went to work after school at the Ithaca Telegraph Office.
Hello? Well, here I am, Mr. Spangler, ready for work.
Well, holy smoke, I just called you 5 minutes ago. You must be the fastest moving thing in the San Joaquin Valley.
Well, I figure it's a good thing for a telegraph messenger to be fast. Besides, I'm going out for the 220 low hurdles at the track meet tomorrow. Now, do I get to go to work right away?
What are you going to do with the money?
Give it to my mother. With Pa passed away and my older brother Marcus in the Army and my sister Bess going to college, I figure a man has to help any way he can, even if it's just working after school.
Okay, you're the night shift messenger. I'm the manager of the Ithaca Telegraph office. Just call me Tom. And this venerable gentleman in the back is our operator, Willie Grogan. Willie, this is Homer McCauley, our new night messenger.
Well, here, sit down. Sit down.
Thanks, Mr. Grogan.
So you're running the 220 hurdles, huh, Homer?
That's right, Mr. Spank. Tom?
You good at them?
Pretty good.
Then you win them, you understand? For us.
I'll sure try, Tom.
I'll see you later.
Now that you're here, boy, you want to remember. This office is more than an office. It's a college, a place of learning.
Yes, sir.
Can you sing, boy?
Sing? Sure, I guess.
Fine,
so.
Fine. When I'm oppressed by the dismal weight of my 70 years, I shall ask you to join me in a song.
Sure. Sure, Mr. Grogan.
You see, I'm an old-time telegrapher. I'm one of the last in the world.
You must have handled an awful lot of telegrams, too.
Indeed I have. Messages of birth and death, and happiness and tragedy. And now you're going to be part of it, too. You shall be the fleet-footed Mercury of Ithaca after dark.
I'll do my best.
It won't always be easy.
It hasn't been so easy for Ma and for Marcus. He's my brother in the Army.
Yeah, this is a different kind of not so easy. I have here a message in my typewriter. Here, read it. Then you must deliver it.
Well, it's addressed to Mrs. Rose Sandoval, and it says, "The Department of War regrets to inform you that your son, Juan Domingo Sandoval..." Mr. Grogan. He's dead.
Your education begins, Homer. You must take it to the mother. The news of her son's death.
But I won't know what to say to her.
You'll find the words, Homer. You'll find the words.
Yes.
Mrs. Sandoval?
Si?
I have a telegram. It's for you, Mrs.
Please, you come in.
Yes.
And no can read English. You open and read it to me.
Yes.
Who sent the telegram?
Huh?
My son, Juan Domingo.
Mrs. Sandoval, he's dead. Well, that's what the telegram says.
Huh?
Maybe it's a mistake. The telegram says it was your son, but maybe it's wrong, Mrs. Sandoval.
No. He's dead. Do not be afraid. Here. I will give you candy. All boys like candy.
Mrs. Sandoval, please.
Here. Eat the candy. You would not bring me bad telegram. You are a good boy.
Mrs. Sandoval, I can't.
This Mexican candy. I make it for my Juanito when he come home. But you ate it. You are my boy, too. Oh, Juanito. Oh, my Juanito.
Grogan, I delivered the message.
Many men will die in the war, Homer.
Oh, I know about dying. I found out about it from my pa when he died. But he wasn't young like her son. I've got a brother, Marcus. It could happen to him, too. And to Toby.
Who is Toby?
Toby George, my brother's friend in the Army. They're in France now. Marcus writes me about him. He doesn't have any folks, only Marcus. They could be killed too, couldn't they, Mr. Cook?
Homer, Homer, you've learned your first lesson on your new job. But you see, it's only the first act of the human comedy. The play goes on. Here's my typewriter, for instance. Here's news for Mrs. Hugo Bott. Her daughter had a boy.
A boy. A baby. Yeah. I'll take it over right away.
Well, presently. You have the fire of work in your veins. So have I. The company's been trying to retire me for 10 years now. But I wouldn't know what to do if I didn't have this job.
Why shouldn't you go on working? If a fellow wants to work, nobody ought to stop him.
I wish the head office could hear that. Why, I was the fastest operator in the business.
I'll bet you were.
Now sing me a song, boy. Protect me from the murder of age and time. Protect me with your song.
Well, I...
Young dream. Sing, boy.
What'll I sing, Mr. Grogan?
A song for all men, Homer. A song for your brother Marcus and his friend Toby on the field of battle. Sing. There's a church in the valley by the wildwood. No lovelier spot in the vale. No spot is so dear to my God.
Mom,
it's me. I thought I'd wake up for you. How was it, your first night of work?
All right. But it wasn't like I thought it'd be. Any mail from Marcus, Mom?
No, not today. Here, sit down. Let me look at you. You look tired.
I am, Mom. I'll get used to it, though.
And worried, too. What is it, dear?
You know, Ma, when a fella begins finding out about people, like a woman I met tonight, a woman whose son was killed, and Mr. Grogan, afraid of losing his job. You know, almost everything you find out is sad.
Yes, it is, Homer.
But why? Why is it that way, Ma?
You'll find out. No one can tell you.
Mom, having a job like this is a wonderful thing for me, but it... Oh, sure makes school seem awful silly.
You're tired, Homer. Go along to sleep now. Silly or not, there's school tomorrow.
All right. Good night. Better get some rest for the track meet. Oh, you did say there wasn't any mail from Marcus, didn't you, Mom?
No mail. Good night, Homer.
Night, Ma.
Screen Directors Playhouse production of The Human Comedy, starring Mickey Rooney with Francis X. Bushman as Willie Grogan, and introduced by the director of the film, Clarence Brown. You are at Lake Winnipesaukee. Your outboard motor has just sputtered up to the wharf. Hot and thirsty from the broiling September sun, you step ashore with your meager string of fish. Right now, a quick plunge in that cool water, Blue Ribbon, does something more than quench your thirst. It gives you taste. Blue Ribbon taste. The kind of taste you can't get anywhere else in the world except in that Pabst Blue Ribbon bottle. And, fortunately, you can get that Pabst Blue Ribbon bottle all over the world. Yes, you hear it everywhere. At Lake Winnipesaukee and Lake Tahoe and Lake Louise and Lake Arrowhead. Pabst Blue Ribbon. Finest beer served. Anywhere. Your taste will tell you why. Now, back to the Screen Directors Playhouse production of The Human Comedy, starring Mickey Rooney.
I guess that first night at the Ithaca Telegraph office was the beginning of my growing up. But it didn't show very much the next day, because that day, the most important thing in my life was winning the 220 low hurdles for a girl named Helen Elliott. You see, Helen sat in front of me in Miss Hicks' history class, and she was pretty, and I kind of liked her. She liked another fellow, though. His name was Hubert Eckley III. But there I was, stopping her outside my classroom and laying my heart at her feet. Helen, I'll be thinking of you and the track meet when I run the hurdles.
Oh? Well, Hubert Eckley III says he's going to win the hurdle event.
Hubert Eckley III, I'm going to win it for you and for Tom Spangler and Mr. Grogan down where I work.
You're a very nice boy, Homer, but... Oh, Hubert! Hubert, over here!
Oh, good afternoon, Helen. Are you attending the athletic event this afternoon?
Mm-hmm.
Hello, knothead.
Please, Homer, don't be obstreperous in front of Miss Elliott.
Never mind him, Hubert. Of course I'll be there. Oh, here's Miss Hicks. I'll talk to you after class.
Listen here. I'm going to beat the daylights out of you in the hurdles today. You understand that?
You'll never beat Hubert Eckley III at anything.
Hubert Eckley III? What did you ever do with Hubert Eckley II or the first, for that matter? Who did you ever lick? Your hands are you
Homer,
knucklehead.
Homer, Hubert, this is a classroom, not a boxing arena. You and Hubert will both remain after class.
What? Miss...
I want you boys to understand that I'm not keeping you to punish you.
And why are you keeping us?
I've always kept in only those who meant the most to me.
It's a most inopportune time, Miss Hicks. I'm needed to win the low hurdles today. Coach Blanton is depending on me.
What's the matter, Hubert? You think you're better than the rest of us? Just because you're rich and your father has some drag with Coach Blanton? I don't...
You will both learn, Homer and Hubert, that every man in the world is better than somebody else. And not as good as somebody else. Each of you will begin to be real men and truly human when, in spite of your differences with one another, you still respect one another. That is what it means to be civilized. I hope...
Miss Hicks.
Coach Blanton.
Yes, Mr. Blanton.
I have instructions from the principal regarding Mr. Eckley.
Mr. Eckley? What about me, Mr. McCauley?
Come along, Hubert. Your father will be very disappointed if you didn't run the 220 hurdles.
Good afternoon, Miss Hicks.
Did you see that, Miss Hicks? Is that special privilege or not?
It certainly is. I don't believe the principal gave any such instructions. Mr. Blanton is not only ignorant of sportsmanship, he's also a liar. That 220 low hurdle. Low indeed.
Don't cry, Miss Hicks. I'll stay in.
Homer McCauley, you get out on that field and go out to win.
I sure will, Miss Hicks. I'll run like I never ran before, and not for Helen Elliott either. For you and Tom and Mr. Grogan and...
I'll be watching, Homer.
I'll win. Now I have to win. Look, the medal. I won the hurdles.
Victory.
I won.
Sweet in the mouth of youth. Tell me, my boy, how did it feel?
Wonderful, wonderful. I licked Hubert Eckley all the way.
Homer, you are the swiftest messenger since the footsore hero who handed the famous message to General Garcia.
Yeah. Well, I suppose I'd better get to work, huh?
Here's a letter for you. Your mother dropped it into the office.
Oh, it's from Marcus, my brother.
Well, open it and read the letter from your brother.
I think I'd like to read it to you, Mr. Grogan, if you don't mind.
Well, do so, by all means. I'm flattered, Homer, by your thought.
See, it says, Dear Homer, first of all, everything of mine at home is yours. My books, my phonograph records, everything. They are yours because you are now the man of the McCauley family. I am glad that I am the McCauley who is in the war, for it would be a pity and a mistake if it were you. You are the best of the McCauleys. You must go on being the best. Tonight our company is resting. In an hour or two, we will be going back into battle. Toby is beside me as I write this. He is an orphan, but I have told him all about us, and he feels that he is now a part of the McCauley family. and of Ithaca. If all goes well, I will bring him home with me when the war is over. But I've made him promise to come back alone if I am killed. I miss you very much, boy. God bless you. Your brother, Marcus.
It's a beautiful letter, Homer. God protect your brother and Toby. If Marcus should die, I think I'd die too. The world would be too evil a place in which to live.
If my brother is killed in this war, I'll spit at the world. I'll hate it forever. I won't be good, I'll be bad. I'll be the worst that ever lived.
My boy, a week of your life has sped by. Here's another message. Deliver it with the speed of time.
I'll try, Mr. Grogan, but my bicycle ain't that fast.
Come on, Homer. Time to get up. The beginning of another week.
I'll get up, Ma. Just another 5 minutes. Let me see.
You're a good messenger, Homer. You've done your work well. You've been here a month now.
Yes, it's been a good month. Well, Mr. Grogan, there's another message I delivered. Mr. Grogan, are you all right? Mr. Grogan! What is it, Homer? Mr. Grogan.
Well, what's the matter?
He's dead.
Dead? Oh.
He died right in the middle of working. Look, there's a message in his typewriter. He was receiving this message to...
Don't feel bad, Homer. He was an old man. This is the way he wanted it to be.
The message, he said. He said he wouldn't want to go on living if it came.
The message? What is it, Owen?
This is Kate McCauley, Ithaca, California, Department of War Regrets to inform you that your son, Marcus... Here's my house, Tom.
Try to remember, Homer. The best of Marcus will never die. You'll see him many times in things that'll come to you every day, in your home, in the streets, places where he's been. The greater part of a good man stays forever. Try to remember, Homer.
I will. I will. Goodbye, Tom.
Hello. Hello, Homer.
Sorry, I don't seem to remember you.
But I remember you, though we've never met.
You're a soldier. Are you from Ithaca?
No. No, but I'm of Ithaca. Part of it now. Part of everything that was your brother.
And you're Toby. Toby George.
I was wounded. They told me I wouldn't be in the army anymore. So I came here, to Ithaca. I came home.
The telegram came today. I have it in my pocket. What are we going to do?
Tear it up, Homer.
But what will we say?
Perhaps we won't need words.
I understand. I'll tear it up. Come on, Toby. Come on, Toby, we're going in.
In to Marcus's house.
Ma! Beth! Come to the door, look! Look, the soldier, he's come home! The soldier's come home, Ma!
just heard the last act of Human Comedy. In a moment, our star, Mickey Rooney, and screen director Clarence Brown will return to the microphone. I was fortunate enough to see a movie being filmed recently here in Hollywood. It was Nat Holt's picture called The Man of the Plains, starring Randolph Scott in an exciting story of a Kansas frontier town of 1873. In some of the scenes that called for beer, much to my delight, I noticed they were using Pabst Blue Ribbon. Of course, I couldn't refrain from asking why they had selected Pabst. Well, they said, we try to be as authentic as possible. And our research showed that Pabst went best with the pioneers in those early days. So that's the reason. And it's true. Pabst Blue Ribbon has been bringing enjoyable refreshment to Americans since the early days of our country's growth. Today, Pabst Blue Ribbon is a greater favorite than ever. Not just here in Hollywood, but all over America. Yes, you hear it everywhere. Pabst Blue Ribbon. Finest beer served. Anywhere. Your taste will tell you why. Next week on Screen Director's Playhouse, Pabst Blue Ribbon presents the motion picture comedy This Thing Called Love. And our star will be Rosalind Russell. Now, here again is tonight's star, Mickey Rooney, and screen director Clarence Brown.
Clarence, I guess tonight's show brought back a few memories for both of us.
Well, now, Mickey, it wasn't so long ago that we made the picture.
Well, maybe not for you, with all the films you've worked on, but it's still been 7 years.
That's right. We were shooting it just about this time in 1942.
And talking long talks about Homer Macaulay's character.
You know, Mickey, Homer was a very difficult young gentleman to put on the screen. Remember all the little tricks we had to find to make him real?
And you sure knew how to find them. Say, tell me, Clarence, where do all those ideas of yours come from?
Oh, I guess they're just a director's stock and trade, Mickey.
Well, I think the audience knows how much that stock and trade means to us actors and actresses. Without directors like Clarence Brown behind the cameras, we couldn't even begin to make the movies we do.
Thank you, Mickey. That was very nice.
Good night, Clarence. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
And good night to you, Mickey Rooney and Clarence Brown. Tomorrow, when you go to your neighborhood store for your weekend supply of Pabst Blue Ribbon beer, ask for the new Handy Six carton. It contains six regular-sized cans of Pabst Blue Ribbon. It's very compact and easy to carry because of a special new type handle that fits your hand snugly. Slide the Handy Six into your refrigerator and be ready for a pleasant weekend of relaxation with Pabst Blue Ribbon. Finest beer served. Anywhere. The Human Comedy was presented by arrangement with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of the Technicolor musical That Midnight Kiss, starring Catherine Grayson, Jose Iturbe, and Ethel Barrymore. Clarence Brown's latest production is The Secret Garden, starring Margaret O'Brien, Herbert Marshall, and Dean Stockwell. Mickey Rooney appeared by arrangement with Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, producers of The Red Danube, starring Walter Pidgeon, Ethel Barrymore, and Peter Lawford. Included in tonight's cast were Francis X. Bushman as Willie Grogan, Barton Yarborough, Irene Tedrow, David Ellis, Helen Andrews, Jane Morgan, Gil Stratton, Jane Webb, and Peter Leeds. The Human Comedy was adapted for radio by Richard Allen Simmons, and original music was composed and conducted by Henry Russell. Screen Director's Playhouse was produced by Howard Wiley, with dramatic direction by Bill Karn. Portions of the program were transcribed. Listen again next week when Pabst Blue Ribbon presents Screen Director's Playhouse, production This Thing Called Love, director Alexander Hall, star Rosalind Russell.
Thanks for joining us today for this wonderful podcast celebrating the golden history of Hollywood. Remember that wonderful films that you always wanted to own are now available on DVD and through electronic download through the WarnerArchive.com website. Future podcasts await you, so look out for them, and we hope to be with you again soon. Thanks for listening.